Well, welcome once again as we return for another thought for the day from the book of Joshua and chapter 10. Let's come before him in prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, you have given us another day to live to your glory, and we pray that as we open your word now in these few moments, that you will show us again the wondrous truths of your word and of your gospel. We ask it for your praise and glory. Amen. Well, we read yesterday of the victory of Joshua and of God's people at Makkedah. And picking up the narrative at verse 29, the inspired author now spends 11 verses telling us of Israel's continued conquest of the southern part of the land of Canaan, defeating the cities of Libnah, Lachish, Eglon, Hebron and Debir. And in each place, the ruler and the inhabitants were, as the Bible puts it, put to the sword. And so we pick up the narrative today at verse 40, chapter 10, verse 40. So Joshua subdued the whole region, including the hill country, the Negev, the western foothills and the mountain slopes, together with all their kings. He left no survivors. He totally destroyed all who breathed, just as the Lord, the God of Israel, had commanded. Joshua subdued them from Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, from the whole region of Goshen to Gibeon. All these kings and their land Joshua conquered in one campaign, because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Then Joshua returned with all Israel to the camp at Gilgal. Now, as we've suggested on some earlier days, some react to accounts of these kinds of things in the Bible with accusations of bloodthirsty massacres and xenophobic behaviour. But what those accusations expose in those who make them are an utter unwillingness to allow any authority to sit in judgment on mankind. It's really a denial that there is a divine creator at all, that we are his created beings, that the life we have is not our own, it is a gift from God, and we must give account to God for it. For what we have in these biblical narratives is the clearest and most severest warning that there but for the grace of God go I. The Canaanites lived utterly debased and immoral lives, with no regard for Almighty God. And added to that, they actively opposed the people of God and God himself. In his Bible commentary on these verses, Matthew Henry draws this conclusion, that all those who have slighted the riches of God's grace must forever feel the weight of God's wrath. And what a sobering lesson that is. But the wonderfully good news is that we still live in the day of grace and salvation. And Jesus still says to each one of us today, that whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, shall not perish, but have eternal life. One last thought from verse 42, which tells us that Joshua's success was due solely to the fact that the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. Or as the New Testament writer puts it, that when we're truly on God's business and living in obedience to God's word, if God be for us, who can be against us? And the answer is no one of any eternal consequence. Now there's a wonderful thought for the day. Let me read a verse of another Francis Ridley Havergal hymn. Fierce may be the conflict, strong may be the foe, but the king's own army none can overthrow. Round his standard ranging, victory is secure, for his truth unchanging makes the triumph sure. Joyfully enlisting by thy grace divine, we are on the Lord's side. Saviour, we are thine. Let's pray. Lord, these are sobering words. And we pray, Lord, that we may know for sure that we are on your side, that you are on our side, that we are right with you this day. Lord, that we may not fear your punishment for our sin, because we know wonderfully that the Saviour has taken it for us. So may we, Lord, fight in your strength this day, not in our own, looking to you, our victor and our Saviour. We ask it for your praise and glory. Amen.